Well, good morning. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to preach. I'm thankful to be a part of our church, and I'm thankful to be a part of a church staff that works well together as a team. Before we read today's scripture passage, I want to give us a bit of context. The parables that Jesus has been telling, that we've been studying over the past 3 or 4 weeks, are all being told right before the Passover in the temple. Jesus, after the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which we celebrate on Palm Sunday, and this is days before his arrest and his crucifixion. It's into this context that Jesus is teaching. Who would be there to hear his words? Who would have traveled the many miles across Israel to come to Jerusalem to celebrate this week? Who would members a whole week long, or maybe shack up in a tent outside of town just so they can get into the temple for Passover? It's the faithful. Jesus is teaching here to the most faithful, the people who care most about their relationship with the Lord. And it's into that context that we read our parable this morning. It's on page 699, if you have a pew Bible, chapter 22. We'll read all 14 verses of the parable. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited to dinner, my oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything's ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. He was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Banquet anyone you can find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king asked, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot, for there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are invited.'" This is the word of the Lord. Let me teach you some dangerous words to say. I can see some of you already, like, a pastor should not be teaching dangerous words. Just trust me. This would be a dangerous situation for you if on Christmas or if on Valentine's. "Oh, I thought you didn't want anything." You could go home on any given night of the week and you could say, "Oh, why aren't you doing the dishes? I thought you liked to do that." Or maybe you could get in trouble right now. You hear about this. Why are all these phrases so dangerous? It's because they are presumptions. And presumptions reveal that there is an already broken relationship that we've been hiding. We have been taking someone for granted. We have been assuming lack of care for someone that we've been hiding until all of a sudden it came out of our mouths and now it's... Presumptions is one of the... Because we have something to presume upon. It's why Jesus is speaking this parable in this setting. He is warning the people not to presume upon their relationship with the Lord. And presumption is dangerous because it is secret. It's something that we don't admit to ourselves in our own hearts. We don't even want to admit it until all of a sudden it slips, and then we have no choice but to face it. It's secret, but it's also serious. It is a broken relationship. That presumption is dangerous. And if we don't find it and root it out of our own hearts and lives, then that presumption will destroy us. We can destroy it, or it will destroy us. That is the warning that God is giving us. It's the warning temple this Passover on what will become Holy Week. And there is grace in a warning. There is grace in a warning. And Jesus' warning today is that we are either preparing or we are presuming. We're either preparing or we are presuming. We will walk back through this parable and analyze the presumptions of the people. And we hope that in doing so, we may open our own hearts and lives and be honest about some of it. Because there is grace in a warning that we are either preparing or we're presuming. This morning, if I'm sorry, truly, I've missed my mark. I'm not aiming for your toes. I'm not aiming for your feathers. I'm aiming for your heart. The first group that we meet in this parable are the original invitees to the wedding. Now, in Jesus' day, there would be two invites. Much like today, the first invite is an RSVP. And if you say yes, then you get the second servant who comes to you the day of the wedding as a courtesy reminder to say, all the food is ready, the wedding is prepared, come to the wedding now. It would be unheard of. It would be rude to say yes to the first servant and no to the second. Yet that is exactly where the king sends a third servant. After they initially refuse the second servant on the day of, he sends another servant to them. But that is the servant that is ignored, is mistreated, and murdered. This is outrageous. And furthermore, who is king's wedding banquet for? We expect a king to invite to his son's wedding banquet. Surely the most influential people in the kingdom will be there. They get an invite, that's natural. Probably the friends of the king will be there. The friends of the groom will be there. The most trusted advisors, the people with the most wealth in the kingdom. This is going to be a big event. Lots of people get invites. And they're the people that we would never expect to deny. Their presumption is this. They think, my way works. My way works. They think, the king would want me to skip if he only knew of the business deal that I'm about to seal. If he knew the money I'm about to make, he would want me to miss out on this. He doesn't know what I have going on. Or maybe they're thinking, oh, the king, he can't really do anything about it. I mean, I know he'll miss me, but he wouldn't really do anything about it. They're presuming that their way of life, it works. They don't have to follow the king's way. And before we're too hard on them, we should examine our own hearts. In the same way, we think that our way works. We say, I know God says that I shouldn't fill in the blank. But really, it's not that bad. Things in my life worth confessing. I mean, I don't have anything bad going on, really. Or we say, hey, my schedule, it's just so full. You know, God, he should be like everyone else. If he wants time with me, he should get on my calendar, or he should get in line. My way of life, it works for me. There is grace in a warning from God. But the Lord will lead us in the way that is best. If we're to root out this own thought in our hearts, we must not say that our way works, but we must agree that God's way is going to lead us towards what is best. I don't know if you've ever been to physical therapy. I've been on multiple occasions. In middle school, I broke my arm and it severed my nerve, and so I needed to. And then in college, I tore my ACL and my meniscus, and after not putting weight on it for 3 months, I needed to learn to walk again. I learned a lot about physical therapists, and one thing I know is that whenever I go to a physical therapy appointment, they're going to bend me and stretch me in ways that I find very uncomfortable. I'm going to be examined. They're going to test me to see if I've been. They're going to give me new exercises while I'm there. They'll put me on a machine that I've never seen before, and I'll work hard in ways that I didn't know I could. And if you think teachers give homework, you should meet some physical therapists. Really, even when I'm being discharged on my last day, like there's no more follow-up, they still give me this huge pack of papers, and it has different exercises that I should be doing in the months to come. But when we go to a physical therapist, we trust that their way is going to work, that it's going to lead us towards healing. They are the people that helped me learn to walk again. I trusted them. In the same way, what are our expectations? Are we expecting him to truly examine our hearts, to bend us and stretch us, to bring us just outside of our comfort zone? Are we expecting him to give us new spiritual disciplines to lean into? The kind of faith that bleeds in. Are we trusting that his way leads to healing and to abundance? Our way does not work, but the good news is leading us towards the way that is right. I wish this parable stopped around verse 10. If you look back at the passage, it says, this is the picture of those original invitees. They were presumptuous. They were rude to the king. And now we've kicked them out, and we've invited a new group. And the wedding hall is full. Full ending to just stop there. But Jesus takes us for another surprise turn. It's friends to the king that can be presumptuous. It is the people who are invited second as well. There is a man there who is not on. The passage doesn't say much more than that, and we don't know what he's thinking or why he came that way. However, I wonder if he's thinking something like this. If the king invited me while I was covered in head of the road, did he really expect me to wash or clean or change? I don't need to do any of that. And while it is true that God loves us just as we are, God also loves us too much to leave us that way. He accepts us as we are, but he also desires more to meet him. In our own life, we can be tempted to presume like this man. We can presume that faith is a one-time event, that it's happened long ago, that we've checked the box, and we're good now. Or we can compare. We can think, I'm not as bad as that person or this person. I don't do this thing, or I don't do this that often. So I must be ready already. There's no need for me to lead a life of sanctification. I'm ready. Or as you're reading the parables, you start to picture yourself in a different spot. As I was reading this parable, in preparation for what the temple would look like, Jesus would be standing on the steps, teaching out to just crowds and crowds of people. They'd be shoulder to shoulder, listening to him. And as I pictured him telling this parable, I pictured him kind of pointing and getting in specific people in the way that he does, pointing to the hearts and not just to the people there. And as I pictured myself in this moment, I don't know about you, but I kind of pictured myself standing behind, maybe slightly to the left. That way I'm out of range of his finger. Presumptuous if we think that Jesus is never telling a parable for us. Then we're in a dangerous place to interpret the Bible. Because as I read it, there's only one person who. And if we think that we are him as we are reading the Bible, we are making the largest presumption that there could be. How do we get rid of the second presumption, that we're ready already? We must admit that accountability and conviction are essential parts to our faith. Accountability and conviction are essential. We cannot have faith. He loves us too much to leave us that way. He's given us each other. Conviction is an awareness which leads us towards repentance, and it results in renewal. We must have an awareness of sin in our lives. That's normal. It's not something to hide from or be ashamed of. Conviction is normal and good and healthy for us. We should pray the words of Psalm 139, which says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thought. Offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." Conviction is essential to faith and faith. Accountability is being answerable to other Christians for ourselves, one another. On accountability, I'll say this. Not everyone should, but everyone should know something. And someone, boundary out for everyone to see. But we should be vulnerable and honest, and that should be the norm among us. And we people in our lives that know the sins that we've struggled with, the circumstances that we're in, and that are going to walk with us in the future. The reality check of Jesus' parable today is that it is no story. It is just as much prophecy as it is parable. There is a wedding feast coming. Revelation 19, Feast of the Lamb. A day when all believers are gathered together with Christ. We are perfected, the tears are wiped away, and one of the first things we do as a gathered community is we sit down for a wedding banquet. Presumptions are still secret, and they're still serious, especially for the faithful. Our way does not work, but God's way leads us towards what is best. We should expect that our worship, our time with the Lord, is going to change us, much like a physical therapist appointment. And we should admit that we aren't ready already. There is more sanctification that God wants to do. And conviction and accountability are essential and normal parts of growth and flourishing. God is offering us all grace today by giving us a warning and helping us to root out the presumption that we are all either preparing or we are presuming. As we close, I want to encourage you that if there is a sin or a situation in your own life that you feel overwhelmed and unable to admit or speak aloud, I want to encourage you today, during the service even, we want to be there to support you, especially in the hard and overwhelming times.